Anybody glad you came tonight?
Amen.
I'm honored you came. Thank the good Lord for his sweet presence that we feel. You know, as I'm going to obey the Lord, I studied today, prayed today, tried to get direction for tonight. You know, after services are like they are, Sunday morning and then Sunday night, you sometimes, Brother Carl, you just wonder where are you going to go now? What do you do next? We dealt last night, if you were here, we preached on weakness. And boy, weakness will come to your house and hang out. So that you won't trust your stinking self. I think that's worth saying again. Amen. But I want to go tonight to the book of John. Go to St. John chapter 17. Here's what happens. As a traveling evangelist, people think, this is what they think. Brother John, this is what they think. Well, the man of God, he has a set series of sermons and he preaches them every week. Everybody look up here. Boy, that sounds good. If it worked, I mean, I'd try it. But I preach stuff and there's some in the crowd tonight that just a week or two ago, I was actually in Central City. Not even supposed to be there. Just supposed to be there Sunday morning. Ended up preaching Sunday morning, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night. How many of that's a lot of material? Said enough to, I mean, hey, I'm telling you, you preach as long as I do, and you have 6 nights at folks, you've told them almost everything you know. Don't y'all sit up there and act like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. So in preparation, Brother Carl, as I was studying, the Lord brought me back to a passage that I hadn't even preached. I mean, I can't even tell you the last time I preached what I'm about to preach tonight. It's been years and years ago. And you're saying, boy, Brother Derek, you're going to preach an old sermon? I'm hoping it's old enough you hadn't heard it. Here's what I found out a bit preaching something. If you have heard it, the good news that I got banking on me is you've had enough splendid and equal, you forgot what I'm about. You know, that's a truth right there. But I'm in John. I'm in St. John chapter 17. I'm going to read one verse, verse 21. I'm in St. John chapter 17. Red letter edition, Jesus speaking here. And I believe if there ever was a day that the church needed to get unified, we're living in that day. Amen. We need to get it together. Would somebody shout amen?
Amen.
Now I'm looking at St. John 17, beginning in verse 21. If you found that, would you stand with me? As I read this one little verse, and then I'll pray. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us. That the world, watch that, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. I want you to look up here tonight. If you don't mind, Sister Melinda, leave that on the screen. If the Lord will help me and you like to write down what the man of God preaches, I want you to write down getting it together. Amen. I'm not sure this side heard me. Someone walk over here. Getting it together. Father, I thank you tonight for the reading of the Word of God. I thank you for what you did Sunday morning as we preached on It's Your Turn to Burn. Then last night, God, we dealt with the ministry of weakness. God, I've been working on those thoughts on the ministry of disappointment and the ministry of failure. But God, you wouldn't let me go that direction tonight. And you brought me to this text. And God, I don't know if it's for one or if it's for 10 or it's for everybody here. But I just pray that the next few moments that you'd loose my mouth and that you'd loose my tongue and that you'd let the gospel ring with clarity and with boldness and with power. If there's anybody on this Monday night that is lost, let this be the night that they walk the aisle, kneel at the foot of the cross. Maybe some people have come in tonight and they need to get unified. They need to get it together. I pray tonight, God, that we, the body of Christ, would become a dynamic team. God, that we wouldn't focus on individuality, but that we would focus on the concept of being a team. Speak to us as we huddle around the Word of God. And God, we'll give you praise and we'll give you glory. In Jesus' name, everybody said,
amen.
You may be seated in the house of the Lord. I want you to notice in St. John 17 and verse 21 that Jesus prayed for unity. Amen. I mean, he literally prayed for unity. I mean, I've been a traveling evangelist, and Brother Carl, I've been criticized because I don't just preach for Free Will Baptist. I've been criticized, and here's what I found out. Everybody look up here so I can free you up. I found out whether you're Baptist, Free Will Baptist, Methodist, or Presbyterian, or Nazarene, or Pentecostal, you got some stuff in your life you need help on.
Amen.
And I just understand that if Jesus prayed for unity, would you agree? We need to pray that we would get unified in the body of Christ. Jesus prayed for the unity of the church, that they would become a team, tightly, Brother John, tightly together. And I don't know, seems like over the last few years, as I've zigzagged around America, would you agree with the man of God? We are living in a day of trouble. The turbulence of our day, it shows us that evil is everywhere. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, we used to think that trouble was only in Oklahoma City, or that trouble was in Little Rock, or trouble was in Chicago, or trouble or evil. No, baby. Trouble and evil is everywhere. There's no place on the globe that doesn't have evil. Amen. And so there is an evil. And I'm just going to tell you what I believe, Brother Carl. I believe it is evil that takes people that used to be faithful and now they're not faithful. It is evil that takes people that used to be a team player. Now they don't even darken the doors of the friendly church and they're not even interested in going to church. Would you agree with me? It is evil that drives people out. And brings a wedge and brings difficulty. And God said, look, he said, Derek, my boy, prayed for unity. And I don't know. I get amazed at churches. And I get amazed at us in the church. I mean, we say some stuff that makes you want to scratch your head. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
I mean, we want to outdo each other. Now, you say, man of God, what do you mean outdo each other? Well, my Sunday school class is bigger than yours. When I sing, people worship better when I sing. When I y'all ain't hearing me. When I preach, I get more amens than you. Oh, God, help us. We're not here tonight, Brother Roger. I didn't come tonight so that you could think I'm a better preacher than Brother Carl. And Carl didn't come tonight to try to make you think he's a better preacher than me. Ladies and gentlemen, we're on the same team. We're fighting the same battle. And we need to become unified. If you agree with that, shout amen.
Amen.
Jesus didn't paint these disciples he didn't paint them any rosy pictures. Brother Mike, he said, gentlemen, you need to pull yourself from your own agenda. I like that. Let me say it again. You need to pull yourself from your own agenda, from your own ambitions. Where did you get that from? Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and daily follow the Lord.
Amen.
Not your own agenda, not your own ambition. Ladies and gentlemen, we must do what God has called us to do.
Amen.
And so Jesus, he gives us some insight, and he says, lay your own thing down, deny yourself, and take up your cross. Now I'm going to go ahead and be crystal clear. When you look at Jesus and you see the man that has prayed for unity, do you realize Jesus has already bled and he's going to bleed and die and purchase us the greatest gift known to man? And he's going to go to that cross. But before he goes to that cross, he's setting things in order. He knows he's about to walk up a hill, and he knows he's about to die. And I'm just telling you, here's where it got good to me, Brother Roger. Jesus knows that he's about to walk up a hill. He's about to bleed and die. And he looks, you got to see this, he looks at evil. Then he looks at them disciples. No doubt, he looks back at evil. Then he looks at them disciples. Wow, that's a contrast. Somebody shout amen. And he looks at these disciples, these men, and he knows that they, Brother Carl, they have the responsibility to preach the church into existence. Is anybody listening to me? And Jesus, knowing these few men, he says he knows they're not completely together. He knows they're not unified. He knows they're not where they ought to be. And he begins to pray, and he begins to ask God, God, as you and I are one, make them one. God, as you and I are a team, make them a team. God, they have not got their stuff together yet.
Amen.
And I'm praying for unity. If you agree with the man of God, shout amen.
Amen.
And I'm going to go ahead because I'm an evangelist and I can get by with this, Brother Tommy. It does bother you as a pastor. It does bother us as a leader in the church to labor with people year after year, month after month, week after week. And they are more loyal to their auxiliaries and their clubs. I'm preaching real good. And their TV show. And their Facebook page. Now I better talk to the other crowd. Because some of y'all, the Twitter page. And it's obvious, Brother Mike, I'm not smart enough to know all the lingo. But I am telling you, it is hard to deal with this culture that is more in tune with the things of this world than they are in tune with the things of God. And it does bother us. If somebody agrees, would you shout amen?
Amen.
And I'm beginning to look and I thought, well, how can I preach this? It does hurt to preach and teach this gospel. and have people, they're more in tune with everything but the gospel, everything but the church, everything but the prayer meeting. I had a preacher call me yesterday. No. Call me 2 or 3 days ago. And here's what he said, Brother Tommy. Here's what he said, Brother Roger. He said, Derek, see if I'm off base. He said, I've been praying the last 20 years. He said, I've been praying for revival. He said, can I tell you what God's been dealing with me to pray about? I said, preacher, I'd love to hear it. He said, God told me to quit praying for revival. I said, what did he tell you to pray for? He said, Derek, God told me we need to start praying that a prayer meeting breaks out. I said, I'm going to write that down. I do believe prayer meeting will change our churches. I believe prayer meeting will change our effectiveness in the pulpit. I believe prayer, ladies and gentlemen, is the key. And if the Son of God understands the importance, Brother Doug, of prayer, would anybody agree? You and I need to understand the importance of prayer. Amen. Now, if I don't move a little, we're going to be here a while. But I did get the pulpit early. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Brother Ron, Jesus prepares to die. He looks at them 12 men, and no doubt he knows how evil, real evil the enemy is. And he looks at these few men. And I thought about what he looked at and what he saw in their makeup and in their character and in who they were. Hey, he looks at Peter. Man, oh, I'd love to chase a rabbit. I've been working on a message on Peter. Lord, Peter, you know why you like Peter so much? Everybody look up here. Have you heard this since you've been in the church, Brother John? There's just something about Peter. I just love Peter. I'm going to tell you why. Because he's a mess up. And we all identify with Peter. Oh, baby, I'll raise both hands. I get Peter. Peter speaks to me. I mean, when I read about Peter, I say, yep, He's dealing with the same stuff I deal with. And we identify and we relate with Peter. But I want you to look with me at what Jesus saw. He looks at Peter, Brother Carl, not standing on the firm ground of commitment, soon would deny the Lord. He looks at Judas with malice in his heart and so hardened by sin that he betrays the Son of the living God. He looks at James and John and he looks at them and they're looking at seats of grandeur and seats of position. Everybody look up here. He looks at Thomas with an unsettled mind, would eventually doubt him. And the rest was either uninterested or unimpressive to even be remembered. Everybody look up here. I wonder what he sees in me. I wonder what he sees in you. I wonder, ladies and gentlemen, what does he see in my life? What does he see in your life? Some commentators say that Jesus had confidence in these men. Brother Carl, I know what the Bible says. The Bible says have no confidence in the flesh. I do not believe the Son of God had confidence in them men, but I believe the Son of God had confidence in the God that said, let there be light. And the light came on. Jesus had confidence in God. If you agree with that, shout a big amen. Amen. These broken men, as Jesus looked at them, and it drove, Brother Carl, I wrote this down. When Jesus looked at these 12 men, everybody look up here, it drove him to his knees. Brother Mike, as Brother Carl has pastored this church. Pastor, how long you been here now? 4 years, five?
Six.
Now, I won't tell you what I know about Brother Carl. He's been here 6 years. And I believe he's done a great job. Could somebody say amen?
Amen.
Yeah, and I believe that, Brother Bill. But you listen to me. as Brother Carl and Sister Virginia, when Brother Carl stands behind this pulpit and he knows the responsibility that he has to rightly divide the word of truth and stand up and preach to you Bible messages, solid Bible messages, and he knows who you are. He knows you and your good. He knows you and your bad. He sees all of it. Somebody shout amen. He saw you on the mountain and he saw you in the valley. Can I tell you, if it drove Jesus to his knees, it better drive Brother Carl to his knees. And as a traveling evangelist, what I am learning, if I'm going to impact the culture and I'm going to impact my own family and I'm going to do something in real revival, then it needs to drive me to my knees. Now, I could spend a lot of time, Brother John, and I'm not going to, because I need to get somewhere this evening. And I want to say a few thoughts and I want to put some things together. Now, I know y'all know this because I hadn't even given you a point yet. So I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I only have three. Now, if you were here Sunday morning, I had, I think three and a few subs. Then last night, I don't know, I really had 4 points, but I was gracious and only preached three and still preached an hour. Somebody say amen. Glad we didn't hit that last point. Y'all have started biting your fingernails. And I get it. But Jesus, it drove him to his knees. And I'll just say this. I'm dealing with a culture, Brother Carl, and I'm not against it. I'm not being unkind. And I've seen what counseling can do. And I've seen what we can do in spiritual counsel. And I'm not against it. But ladies and gentlemen, it seems like anymore we are living in a generation that's the first, that's what we run to. And ladies and gentlemen, our first thought, we ought to run to God. And we ought to run to prayer. And we ought to run to the face of God. Because ladies and gentlemen, God can fix what nobody else can fix. And so, Brother Ron, here's where I am. And here's what we're going to do. We run to counseling. But I'll say this, what preaching can't get accomplished, prayer will. What teaching can't do, prayer can. What planning and organizing cannot do, prayer will. Everybody look up here so I can help you. And what prayer can't get done, it just can't get done. Jesus said in my mind, in St. John 17:21, Jesus said, the only one thing I can do now, as late as it is, and the clock is ticking, I have to put these men in the hands of God. I have to put them in the capable hands of a loving God. And he prays that they would be one. And I want you to notice this. He says this to God. God, I've taught them all you've told me to teach them. I've been instructed them. I've done all I know to do. And now, God, I'm placing these men in your hands. But I'll tell you, the quicker you can get out of your hands, the better it's going to be. Everybody look up here. If I really stretch my hands out, boy, they look big, but they really ain't real big. I mean, don't ask me to carry it because I don't have it. Amen. I'm not strong enough, but there's hands that he can stretch out his hand and span the heavens. He can hold all the earth's water in the hollow of his hand. Would anybody agree with the man of God? God's got big enough hands to handle your life. But here's what I want you to write down. And he's praying for unity, that they would become a team. And I wrote this down, Brother Carl, and I really believe this because I think we miss unity. Unity does not mean uniformity. Let me say it again. Unity does not mean uniformity. We will not all march the same way. We will not all sing the same songs. We will not all preach alike. Boy, I don't know about you. I'm glad everybody don't preach like me. I'm glad everybody don't preach like Brother Carl. I'm glad we all got a little flair. I got a buddy of mine in Indiana. He called me the other day, and these are his exact words, Brother Tommy. His exact words. He said, man of God, he said, we need a revival. He said, I know you're booked. He said, I know I got you booked for camp meeting in September. He said, but I really need you. And I've been working my calendar. We only do three revivals a month. And I probably told him that. He said, preacher, we really need revival. Here's his exact words, John. He said, now, Derek, you're going to come in and say everything I've been saying, but they're going to buy into what you say. I get it. I'm just a different voice. I mean, I sweat, spit, kick, and holler. Hey, and here's what I found out about preaching. A spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. Isn't that Mary Poppins? I like that. Amen. It applies in the spiritual. Somebody nod your head, boys. Hey, I give some deep truths and people start, they get that sour look. And boy, if you'll just lighten it up a little and make them laugh, all of a sudden they'll swallow it, hook, line, and sinker. You just have to learn how to work them. Somebody say amen. Amen. So hey, listen. You got to find out who you are. You got to do the best you can to reach who you can. But he said, Derek, you're going to say what I've been saying. But he said, they'll buy in. They'll buy into it from you. But here's what I want you to see. We need the oneness of a team spirit. Amen. Amen. Brother Carl, before I give you my points, I want to say this about that little concept, the oneness of a team spirit. You will never catch the Christian team spirit if you're not in fellowship with the Father. Amen. I'm going to get my real deep stuff right here. Jesus prayed, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You can't possibly know the will of God if you're not in speaking terms. This blows my mind, Brother Mike. People come to me and say, you know, Brother Derek, I don't really know the will of God for my life. Have you prayed? No, I hadn't tried that. Well, how are you going to know the will of God if you don't have a prayer life? Let me give you some more advice on the will of God. You can't possibly know the will of God if you're not talking to him. And you can't possibly know the will of God if you don't get in that book. I'm preaching real good. Amen. And someone said, well, man of God, are you ever going to get anywhere? Hey, I cannot believe it. I preached for 10 or 15 minutes. You said, why'd you do that? Because I'm trying to get you to buy in. That's all I've been up here. Brother Larry, I got three things I want to give you tonight. Three things I want to show us tonight in this little passage and walk us through the Bible. Here's what I'd write down. I want you to write down, we are one in function. One in function. You say, Brother Derek, one in function. I don't know what that means. Well, give me 5 good minutes. Let me see if I can get... Anybody give me 5 minutes? Could I see your hand if you give me 5 minutes? 5, 10, 15, 20. That thing works every time, Tommy. I don't know. That deal works. One in function. Brother Carl, we may be different in stature. The last time I checked, you're taller than me. We're different in stature. Matter of fact, we are different in function. He is a pastor. I am an evangelist. But let me sink something into you. Even though our function and our calling is different, we still have the same boss. God is the authority in Carl's life, and God is the authority in my life. And John, I am not the song leader. You are the song leader. Don't ask me to sing. Now look up here. I sang real good. I just rip it to shreds, getting it out. Amen. And hey, I get it. But here's what we need to know. One in function. We may be different in stature. My talent and your talents are different. Our tasks are different. And I said it wrong. Erase what I said a moment ago. Hey, our tasks are different, but our function is the same. Let me prove that to you. What do you mean our function is the same? He's a pastor, I'm an evangelist. Different tasks, but our function is the same. Amen. Ultimately, I believe I know Carl enough to know that there's one he wants to please. And his name's not Derek. His name's Jehovah God. And there's one that God, that Derek wants to please. And as much as I hope Brother Carl likes this revival and is pleased, but can I tell you, there's someone higher than Brother Carl. I want to please the God that called me and anointed me and handpicked me to preach. Would you agree with me? Our function is the same. Amen. And I asked the Lord, I said, how could I drive that home? And here's what he said to me, Brother Carl. He said, Derek, for too long, and this is, we're guilty. We're guilty of this, Brother Tommy. We're guilty of this. We're so guilty, Brother Roger, of this. We look and we major on our differences. Instead of majoring on how alike we are. If you believe it takes the shed blood of Jesus to be saved, I say amen. If you believe you have to have a relationship with Jesus, I say amen. If you believe I ought to pray and you ought to pray and we ought to commune with God and we ought to ask God about everything, I say amen. If you like good singing, I say amen. If you like good preaching, I say amen. If you like to go to a good revival where the Holy Ghost meets with us and people come to an altar and lives are changed, then baby, let's quit majoring on the differences and remember how alike we really are. Amen. And here's what I found out. Here's what I found out about evil, Brother Roger. Evil gets us competing against one another. Everybody look up here. I want to tell you the truth. You're looking at one of the most competitive guys on the planet. And I have a sneaky suspicion. My buddy sitting on the front row is competitive. Hey, look up here. If I'm going to throw horseshoes, I'm throwing to win. You can lose if you want to. I'm throwing to win. Y'all ain't hearing me. If John and I go fishing, hey, John, you might take me to your special spot and you might think you know where all them fish are, but I'm trying to beat you. Amen. And Brother Carl, I don't know how you're built, but I compete so much outside the friendly walls of the church that I don't need it in here. And y'all going to look at me. You know why I shouldn't tell everything I know? You know why I don't play church softball? Look over here. Because I'm too stinking competitive. And Brother Larry, I don't want anybody going, you know, he's a preacher. Did you see? He looked like he was mad. Look up here. If we're trying to win the game and you're up there chewing bubble gum and got your hands in your pocket and you could have got the ball and you didn't get the ball and we lose the game. Now I know all y'all can stay cute and act like it didn't bother y'all. I get healed. Now, I know y'all so spiritual. Y'all don't have any issues. Y'all don't battle the flesh. But you know what I found out? You know what I found out? Roger, there ain't no need me playing softball. Making everybody think I don't love God. And you laugh. You laugh. But I think it's wisdom. Ain't no sense in you thinking I ain't got any spirituality because I'm too stinking competitive. But here's what I have found out. We don't need to compete. I'm not trying to outdo anybody. I'm not trying to impress you and make you think I'm some dynamic preacher and I'm the greatest of all time. Ladies and gentlemen, the greatest preacher of all time, they hung him on a hill. He bled and died that we could have life and have it more abundant. He is the highlight. He is the star of the story. There's no higher than him. There's no holier than him. And we need to lift him up. Amen. Hallelujah. But we major on how different we are. And I got caught up. I didn't mean to. Here's where I'm going. Evil has us competing. And when we realize that we are one in function, our function is the same. Let me back that up by Bible. One plants, one waters, but God gives the increase. We are one in function. Hey, and can I go ahead and tell you, when we get it together, we need to complement one another. You know what I like about Brother Carl? He's the same every time I see him. Amen. You know why I like Brother Carl? Because I know, hey, listen, and I know it takes all you, and he's the leader, and God brought him into this church, but I told you Sunday morning, and I'm in it, I love coming to Cornerstone, because here's what I know, Brother Bill, here's what I know about Cornerstone. I know people have prayed, I know people have fasted. Brother Doug, I know that people are excited. Hey, this even, and people want to hear me preach. Amen. Son, that's half the battle. Makes me want to come. And why? Why? What do we need to know? We are one in function. Right here in the house of God. Number two, I'm just as shocked as you. It's 5 minutes to the hour of seven. It's Brother Mike, that's what the clock says. I'm just going by the clock. Not only are we one in function, write this down. I'm on my second point. We are one in aim. One in aim. What do you mean, one in aim? Let me preach to you now. Aim. Watch this. This is my deep stuff, Brother Carl. Aim means to point or direct. Our aim, Brother Ron, our aim, Sister Melinda, is to preach this gospel to the world. Our aim is to tell the world Jesus saves, Jesus heals, and Jesus, y'all ain't hearing me, and Jesus will bring revival. He heals, he delivers, he sets free. Our aim, we miss this in the local church, our aim is to win the lost before it's too late. The Tommy, Brother Doug, our aim is to help the hurting, hold the hopeless, and point everybody toward heaven. Yes. And I said, God, what do you mean? And God gave me this little thought, and I loved it. It's simple, but I loved it. He said, Derek, too many times, You're a traveling evangelist. You can get by with this. A pastor couldn't say this. And I'm glad. That's why I love being an evangelist. I mean, we can get by with stuff. Sometimes we work on the budget. And that's fine. But if you'll work on souls, the budget will come. Everybody look up here so I can help you. I used to play basketball. Now I'm built like a basketball. Everybody ought not amen right there. You can smile, you can grin, and I'll be all right with that. But hey, I used to play basketball. And here's what they'll do. They'll give a man credit if he passes the ball. They call it an assist. And I love it. I love it. I mean, y'all probably won't believe this because I probably don't look like it now, but Brother Larry, I was. Now I'm 44, so you know it's been a while since I played. I used to be the point guard. I'm going to tell you another shocker. You know, the older you get a lot better. So now it's real good. I'm going to tell you, I was good. Now look up here. Some of y'all's buying in. Mike, I really wasn't, but I'm telling you, I thought I was. But I loved it. I loved ball. Larry, I loved it. I enjoyed playing. I loved competing. And I loved it, but I was the point guard. And if you pass the ball and give the guy the ball and he lays it in, you get credit and you get one assist. It really don't matter who puts the ball in the bucket. Point is, get it in the basket. And can I tell you what's going to make your Sunday school class better? Can I tell you what's going to make the pulpit ministry better? Can I tell you what's going to make the choir better? Can I tell you what's going to make your life better? When you learn to pass the ball. When you learn to get everybody involved. I'm going to blow your mind. Showboating and the hot dogging hurts the team. Amen. Everybody look here. Have you ever seen anybody? I mean, hey, look, it's all right to go behind your back if you have to. Rog, it's all right to go between your legs if you have to. And it's even all right to throw a behind the back pass if you have to. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes they're just basic. Just get it out of your hands and throw that bounce pass so they can't reach it. And you get that guy the ball in position to score. Hey, when we get rid of selfishness and we get rid of showboating and we get rid of trying to impress people, would you agree with me? The church is a better place to go when we learn to pass the ball. Amen. I'm preaching real good right here. Let me give you this. And I promise I'll get out of the way. As long as our achievement is to put the goal and put the basket in the goal, is our achievement as the church, we are one in aim. And I'm going to say this. Here's what I'd write down. I wasn't going to give it to you, but I'm going to because I'm going to be real quick. One in aim. We need to aim by priority. Amen. If you're too proud to pass the ball, you're too prideful. I said, God, how can I word this to make it where people understand? Brother Roger, I believe this is the best I can put it. The workload is lighter when we learn to assist. Amen. The victory is sweeter when we learn to assist. God can help you if you'll learn how to get the ball out of your hands. And get it in somebody else's hands. The spirit of assisting is lacking in the church. Amen. We want credit. You know why you want credit? You're full of pride. Amen. My God said, Derek, learn how to pass. I said, God, I want you to teach me to be a passer. Teach me to be an assister. Can I tell you, and I'm going to my third point. Can I tell you, I'm 44. I know y'all shocked. I'm 44. Brother Roger, I'm looking at these young guys coming up under me. And by the way, there's very few. But the ones that are coming up under me, I want to be gracious enough to pass them the ball. Because you know what I've learned? I'm not going to, right now I'm the traveling evangelist, but I'm not going to do this forever. Matter of fact, look up here so I can help you. You can't do it forever. I mean, someone asked me, said, man of God, how long do you think you can go? I said, well, I hope I can last a few more years. I have no clue. But we need to learn to pass the ball. We are one. We are one in function. We are one in aim. I'm done. I'm finished. I'm going to blow your mind how fast I preach my final point. We are one in privilege. One in function. One in aim. One in privilege. Let me show you that. Can I just tell you tonight, it is a privilege to be a child of God. Amen. Brother John, can I tell you it's a privilege to be washed in the blood? It's a privilege to be full of the Holy Ghost. It's a privilege to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's a privilege to get to stand behind this pulpit and rightly divide the word of truth. Do you realize it is a privilege to work in the kingdom of God? And you say, man of God, what do you think? Can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it might shock you. He don't have to have us. He could use anything, but he chooses humanity. And I want to tell you, I'm not being mean. John, why in the world would he pick John and Derek? Why in the world would he pick Carl? Why would he pick Marlene and Tommy? Why would he pick Liz? Why would he pick Bill? Why would he pick Larry? Why would he pick Melinda? Why would he pick Ron? Anybody getting the point yet? I don't know why he'd pick any of us. If I was a picking, I wouldn't pick. And you say, would you pick yourself? No, I probably wouldn't. Listen, it is a privilege. It is a privilege to work in the kingdom. It is a privilege to be a king's kid. And I said, boy, God, I want to work that. I want to say that. Can I tell you tonight, God's program stretches further than anything we realize. It goes from Afghanistan to Asia. It goes to Iraq and Iran. Can I tell you, it goes to all the 50 states. It goes up in Alaska, man. Y'all ain't going to believe, I just flew to Hong Kong. Did I tell you I flew to Hong Kong? It just makes me laugh every time I say Hong Kong. I've been to Hong Kong. My kids make fun of me because I can't talk plain. Somebody say amen. But to Hong Kong, I've been to Hong Kong. I mean, whoop-dee-doo. But I've been there. Look up here. I got in that airplane in Chicago, and here's what I did. I was going to the Philippines. I got in that airplane, and here's what it said. If this won't bless you, nothing can. It said 14 hours and 47 minutes to Hong Kong. Tommy, I did like this. I don't even wear a watch, but I did like this. I got a nervous twitch and we ain't even got out of the parking lot. 14 hours, 47 minutes. I said, Lord, I can build a lot of sermons in that kind of time. But you say, Derek, how big is this program? It's all over the world. Amen. North America, South America. I could sum it up. His program stretches from time into eternity. Amen. It's a privilege. You might have forgot. You might have forgot, but I'm going to give this last point to you. You might have forgot. God's tabernacled in your bosom. If you're a child of God, God has tabernacled into your bosom the Holy Ghost. Amen. The divine guest. Someone said to me the other day, said, man of God, do you think the Holy Ghost is important? You look up here. Ladies and gentlemen, we need the Holy Ghost. We need Holy Ghost preaching. We need Holy Ghost singing. We need Holy Ghost altar calls. We need Holy Ghost church. Would you agree with me? You got the Holy Ghost living inside of you. Amen. And here's what I know. And y'all gonna look at me. But in 2 Peter 1:4 says this. Whereby We are given an exceeding precious promises. And he talks about the divine nature. The Holy Ghost living inside of me. He pulsates inside of me. Brother Ron, here's what y'all going to think I'm just making this up. Do you realize I preach in some of the deadest churches on the planet? Someone asked me the other day, said, "Boy, Brother Derek, how do you do it?" I was preaching in one dead place, and I'm not going to tell you where, because you might know where it is. You might know the pastor, and I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I went in that dead hole, and I'm sitting there, and I'm begging God. I said, "God, I need your touch." I had two buddies come and hear me. This is no lie, Tommy. I got in that pulpit. I mean, it was dead as 3:00 in the morning. I got in that pulpit. I opened my Bible, and here's what I said. I said, "I can feel the Lord." I went up, I preached. My two buddies heard me. They said, we left the church. They wanted me to go with them. They said that was the deadest place on the planet. But they said, "You preached a hole in the floor." They said, "I couldn't believe how you got anointed. And look up here." I said, "Boys, did you hear what I said when I got in the pulpit?" "Yeah," they said, "it blew my mind. You said you felt the Lord." I said, "I didn't say they could feel him, but I said I could feel him." He lives in me, boys. He pulsates in my soul. It's a privilege to have the Holy Ghost operating in your life. And just get up, no matter dead or alive, boy. Just let the Holy Ghost have his way. And just preach. Just do your job. Now, I'll tell you this. Let me finish right here. Jesus prayed this prayer. And St. John 17:21. He prayed this prayer and he walked out to Calvary. He gave up the ghost, Brother Carl, and said, "It is finished." The Lord got up on Sunday morning and declared all power in his hand. Brother Roger, I love this and I think you will. And he told his disciples, he said, "I want you to go to the upper room. I want you to tarry in that upper room till you be endued with fire. Until you be endued with power." Now give me just a second of your time, because I'm done. I'm finished right here. You're going to be amazed. I'm done right here. Here's what happened. And you remember Peter? I mean, ladies and gentlemen, others said these men are full of new wine. Hey, let me break that down for you, Mike. They're flat dab drunk. They are flat dab drunk. Peter said, "No, boys, we're not drunk. We're just getting it together." Y'all ain't hearing me. We're just getting it together. Can I tell you tonight, there's one thing that can bring unity in the church of the living God. It's a good old-fashioned move of the Holy Ghost. It'll get the church unified. The power of God brings us together. Stand all over the room. One in function, one in aim, one in privilege. God, we need to get it together. God, get us together. Unify us. Let us learn how to pass the ball. God, there are good people in here. There are wonderful people in here. But I pray, God, as the peanut player comes, I pray, God, that these people, God, the leaders of this church, the leaders, and I know there are other churches represented tonight. God, would you help us as the body to learn to pass the ball? God, would you get us together? Would you bring unity and harmony? Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. God, would you get us together? God, would you help us tonight? Would you move in our hearts and move in our lives tonight and help us to get unified? God, we need to be one in function, one in aim, and one in privilege. Move in this altar call. We thank you for what you did last night. Do something supernatural tonight. In Jesus' name. Every head is bowed. Every eye is closed.